And grace and peace be yours. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's Palm Sunday. This week is Holy Week, most important week of the whole year. You've heard me say before, my favorite season is Christmas. I love Christmas. But this is it, right? Holy Week. Your salvation, my salvation, are accomplished this week. With Jesus entering the holy city, it's a spring morning in AD 30. Jesus coming into Jerusalem on a colt, greeted by crowds. The tough part about preaching it is you already know all about Palm Sunday and Holy Week, but it's the thing of kind of living it again, right? Remembering it and saying, Lord, make it present to me this year. Make it present to me now. The Lord Jesus entering the holy city and what will take place this week. The teaching, the throngs of people wanting to hear him, the opposition of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, the betrayal, the crucifixion, the death. You know these things. I think Saturday was the toughest day. The Lord crucified and buried. Saturday, what goes on? Silence. Who here likes silence? That's alien to us. And Easter, not yet. They don't know what to make of it all. Easter Sunday, that's a week from today. A week from today, joy. I do encourage you to come to many of the worship services this week, especially Good Friday. Especially Good Friday, to meditate on the things that our Lord has done. Now, as we think about those things, and as we think about the words of the crowd, think of Palm Sunday. Hosanna. Hosanna, save us, Lord. Blessed be the King, they say. Blessed be the King. And it raises this question, and this is our theme today. I want us to kind of get this. Who sits on the throne? I hear the answer from the back. Who sits on the throne? God. Now, in the spring of AD 30, sitting in the governor's throne was Pontius Pilate. Is he the one that rules? Right? Sitting on the throne in Rome is Caesar Tiberius. So if I were to say to them, who sits on the throne? They would say, well, Tiberius does. Who sits on the throne near us? Pontius Pilate does. Who really sits on the throne? The Lord Jesus. Our opening psalm this morning was Psalm 24. We read a few verses. I want to hear the whole psalm. It's a short psalm. I think it's easy to kind of look at it. I want us to catch some things from it. Psalm 24. And I'm reading it from the Bible because the bulletin had just part of the psalm. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. How much belongs to God? Everything. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it, for he founded it on the seas and established it on the waters. Why does God own everything? He made it. Now I get it. We live in the modern world and there's competing theories. Well, people say, well, God didn't make it. It evolved. It got here by a cosmic accident. That's not good enough, is it? The created order is way too complicated to even think that that's possible. Is there a God who made everything? There is. And if he made everything, it's his. That's what it's saying. There's a God in heaven. He rules. He made it. It belongs to him. This, by the way, this psalm is in three stanzas. There's breaks in the text. You can see it. Verse 3. Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? There is a God. So who can come into his presence? Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? The one who has clean hands and a pure heart. Now, we know that we don't by nature have clean hands and a pure heart. God gives you that. But he says this, the ones who do not trust in an idol or swear by a false god. God is on the throne. This is what the Bible is saying. If God is on the throne, God made everything, God rules, only he rightly is on the throne. If something else is put on that throne, that thing's an idol. Does it make sense? Makes sense? That thing is an idol. Those who do that, those who come in the presence of the Lord, they will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God their Savior. Such is the generation of those who seek him. That's you. Those who seek him. who seek your face, God of Jacob. Third stanza is the one that was in the bulletin. Lift up your heads, you gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. There it is, the King. God is the King. Open the gates to the city so that the King can come in. And then the text asks the question, who is the King of glory? The answer, the Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, you gates. It repeats itself. Lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is he, this King of glory? The Lord Almighty. He is the King of glory. Who is the King of glory? The Lord Almighty. Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. God is the King, and Jesus is the Lord. Now, if God is the King, it raises the question of what about the earthly kings? What about those guys, right? Israel had a king. Here's a sad chapter of the Bible. If you had a Bible, you can go, if you have one, you can go with me to 1 Samuel chapter 8. Think of this. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob walking in faith with God. Not perfectly, they're human, but they don't have a king. They're the patriarchs. There's no king after them. Moses, slavery in Egypt, Moses delivers them. God raises up judges, people like Gideon, Deborah, Samson. Any king? No, they had leadership raised up by God. 1 Samuel chapter 8, you know what the people said? Give us a king. 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 5, they say to Samuel, the last and best of the judges, by the way, they say, you are old and your sons do not follow your ways. Unfortunately, that part's true. Now appoint a king to lead us, such as all the other nations have. Do you hear what they said? This is the people of God. God is their king. What did they say? Give us a king. Why? So we can become like the other nations. Persia has a king. Egypt has a king. Babylon has a king. Give us a king. What a terrible request. Who's the king? God. And Solomon is heartbroken by it. He comes to the Lord, verse 7, and God says to Samuel. God says to Samuel, listen to all that the people are saying to you. It is not you they have rejected, but they have rejected me as their king. What a tough verse. They have rejected me. So how did it go? They got a king. The kingdom is united for only three of the kings, and then it splits into the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. I don't want to do a history lesson, but I want us to be aware of this. In the northern kingdom, there were 19 kings. How many were good? None of them. Can you imagine 19 kings? Every one of them, unfaithful Lord, every one of them leading the people astray. How did that work out? In the southern kingdom, there were 21 kings. 11 were actually good. 9 were bad. 1 was too short to rank. So how do the kings of the earth go? God is the king. God is the one from whom we receive eternal life. From God we receive peace and purpose and meaning and life. I want to be clear about this. Government is important, is it not? It is important that the roads be paved. It is important that the school system be good. It is important that they protect us from crime and from foreign invaders. It is important that government exists, but it is not about ultimate importance. In fact, sometimes government thinks that it should give us our purpose and our meaning. Those are called tyrants, right? In Marxist Russia, remember they said, we're going to make the new Soviet man. And they killed millions of people who disagreed, right? Government is about temporal affairs. They're important affairs, but they are temporal. God is about life and salvation and purpose and meaning. And if government steps into that, it's tyranny. So, the kings of the earth, they sometimes forget their role. They try to usurp the Lord, and some people make politics the end of their life. So Jesus comes. Who sits on the throne? Pontius Pilate. What kind of king was he? Who sits in Rome? Caesar Tiberius. Not so good. And so Jesus, imagine this, 3 years of ministry, preaching, teaching, healing. Jesus has been in 3 years of ministry. He comes to Jerusalem. What do the people say? Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And in Luke, the words are very direct. Blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord. Who's the king? Jesus. Here's a tough question. On Palm Sunday, the first Palm Sunday, did the people know what they meant? Some of them probably meant, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, and here he is to overthrow the Romans. And some of them meant, here's the one who's going to restore the Davidic dynasty. He's the son of David. And some of them meant, here's the one who's going to restore the glory of Israel. Did he mean any of those things? How many of the people on Palm Sunday said, here's the one who will die for our sins? Probably none. Did they know yet? No. I always like to think of this question. When did the disciples get it? When did the disciples get it? On Easter Sunday? Some got it Easter Sunday. I love this part of the Bible. Jesus dies, buried, rises again. Easter Sunday, they either hear of it or they see him, and they don't get it until he explains it. What would you say about the disciples? They're kind of slow. Now, before we point a finger at the disciples, what would you say about us? We are kind of slow. You have to see the whole thing. The cross, the empty tomb, Jesus alive, and then say, oh, I got it. This is the king who died for me. I do love this little detail, the donkey part. Isn't that wonderful? Zechariah 9 said this, the Old Testament lesson, rejoice, shout, your king is coming. How? Lowly and riding on a donkey. That's the Old Testament prophet. Lowly and riding on a donkey. How do other kings come? War horse. A war horse at the head of an army. That's the way the conquerors of the world come. But Jesus comes lowly, riding on a donkey. What a luxury ride that is, right? I love this fun detail. Jesus told the disciples, go into the town, you'll find a donkey, nobody's ever ridden it, untie the donkey, somebody's going to ask you, why are you untying it? And you're going to say, the Lord needs it. And this is in the text, and they found it just as he had told them. Why that little detail? I love those little things like that in the Bible. That little detail is to say to you and to me that Jesus knew exactly what was up. This week, this holy week, the lies, the deception, the betrayal, the cross. I want us to get this. That was the plan. Jesus was in control of all these things. Not for one second was anything being imposed upon him. And that's why he tells them, it'll happen like this, so that they know that he knows. Here's an odd part of the text. Blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord. And that was troublesome to Pontius Pilate. This is the part we need to catch. Jesus did not come to overthrow Pontius Pilate, right? Jesus was no threat at all to Pontius Pilate. He said, my kingdom is not of this world. But I already asked, who's on the throne? For most of us, we don't put the governor on the throne. What do we put on the throne? Myself. That's where I put, or who I put at the throne at the center of my life is myself. And Jesus did come to overthrow that king. Jesus came to overthrow the king of the self. This text, our epistle lesson, in your relationships with one another, have this same mindset as Christ Jesus. Okay, then what was his mindset? His mindset was that being in very nature God, he did not consider being God something that he should use to his own advantage, but he became a servant. Blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord. Jesus the Christ, imagine this, who washed the disciples' feet. Do you remember the narrative of Jesus washing their feet? They don't like it, right? Peter says, no, Lord, you'll never wash my feet. You know why he says that? He gets it. They're slow other times. This time he gets it. If the Lord washes feet, what does that mean for me? You see what he's saying? It is the most important week ever, Holy Week. Today is Sunday. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Jesus will be teaching. Thursday, the supper and his arrest. Friday, he dies. Saturday, silence. Sunday, joy. I want us to catch this. The Lord, the King, the one who made all things, who owns all things, comes not to be served, but to serve. He comes to be your servant. And having come in humility, Zechariah 9 does add this, and Philippians 2 echoes it again. He does come lowly, riding on a donkey, but it also says he comes righteous and victorious. And Philippians says, and every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. Amen. We stand together. May the peace which passes all human understanding keep our hearts and our minds with Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.